Today, we're going to talk about the Proverbs 31 woman. For you guys that have been in church, have you heard about that before? Oh, yes, no? Okay. So, let me give you a background on this. So, Proverbs 31 was written by a dude named Lemuel. Do you guys know Lemuel? Huh? A lot of Psalms and Prophets was written by David, but Proverbs 31 was written by Lemuel. And Lemuel was a king that wasn't in the list of kings, you know, like David and Solomon. And so scholars believe that Lemuel was another name for Solomon. So I tend to believe that as well. When I look into the scriptures, I'm like, this guy's got a nickname, you know what I mean? So do you guys know who Solomon was?
Son of David.
Son of David, and reportedly the wisest man in history, right?
Not so much.
Maybe at first, but he did make major mistakes, right? But he did pen scripture. And that's the thing. God uses imperfect people to do amazing things. And even if they didn't finish well, some of these guys, what they wrote was inspired from the Lord. So it became scripture, and the one that we're looking at is Proverbs 31. And King Lemuel writes this because he remembered his mother's teaching on what a godly woman was, you know? And I want to just go over Proverbs 31, starting in the middle where it says, a wife of noble character who can find. And we're just going to read it, and we're going to talk about a little bit about what is going on there, because a lot of people look at this and they put it on their Facebooks and Instagram because it has nice things to say. What I'm trying to propose to you tonight is that this is a great allegory, not only for our marriages, but between Jesus and the church. How many of you guys know the church is the bride of Christ? If you read Revelation, the church is described as the bride of Christ. And Jesus is coming back for a wedding ceremony. And so when we look at things like this, we got to make sure we understand that there's two things that are happening. Yes, the obvious is true, that when you read it and you want to know what a godly woman looks like, you can trust this. Absolutely. But this is also characteristics of the church, the ecclesia. In fact, the word ecclesia, Jesus used that word because it was a common word used for the council at the city gate, a gathering of men that were allowed. You know what I mean? And Jesus was he's a big troll, you know? Imagine, you know, think of like the rowdiest group of guys, like maybe like soccer guys or baseball dudes. And he's like, yeah, that's going to be my church right there. You know what I mean? And that's what he did with the church. And so, but the church is so multifaceted that before Jesus comes back to his bride, he wants his bride mature. And so we got to understand this. So this is two things. We're going to honor the mothers and the women in our lives today and honor the church at the same time. See? So, if you got your Bibles, turn to Proverbs 31. And I forgot to put down where exactly it starts, but it's in the middle. You have it pulled up there? Oh, I didn't put the number. But
10.
There we go. So let's start here. So Lemuel remembers his mother's teaching. Interesting, right? Like, man, you can learn from your moms and your wives. Yes, you can. In fact, I was talking with my friends earlier about that. They had an argument with a bunch of dudes in their lives. And did you know the Bible describes wisdom as a feminine attribute? Describes wisdom as a woman. Yes. Yeah. If you look at Proverbs 1, it describes wisdom as a her. So it's good because God doesn't favor a man over a woman or a woman over a man. He favors them together. And so that's the context. So Proverbs 31:10, a wife of noble character who can find, she is worth more than rubies. You are worth more than rubies. Okay, nice. That's a nice Facebook post to put down. Check this out. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Wow. How many marriages in America where this confidence is not there? A lot, right? So here's the thing. Lemuel, King Lemuel, is remembering his mother saying, you have to find a wife that you can have full confidence in, right? A lot of marriages, like men and women in marriages, don't trust each other. But in a godly sense of the matter, the husband loves the wife so much, he has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Why? Because she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. You know, there's something to be said about the old school wife, you know. Here, my mom's here, and she'll know. She's gonna tell me later. But here's, and I'm not saying that the man is better, but a lot of times the men make worse mistakes than the wives. But the women, the old school traditional women, would stand by her man no matter how much he messes up, in the hopes he becomes a man of noble character. I've seen that. I've seen my mom do it. I've seen, you know, my grandparents do that. And you know what's great about that? It does make the man into the man he's supposed to be. And I'm not giving men leeway to mess up in their marriages. I'm not saying that. I'm not condoning anything. I'm just saying, since too late. I'm just saying.
Men should value the woman.
Yeah. I'm just saying, women, if you have the correct relationship with a woman, and the woman is godly, she's filled with the Holy Spirit, she'll be loyal to you till the day you die. And knowing that in your heart will make you into the best man possible. You know, my wife isn't here at church because she's taking care of my 5-year-old. He's sick, you know, and I can tell you what, this church, this ministry, and all the things that we've been doing around the world wouldn't be possible without my wife, you know? And I'm the guy you see on the outside or on the live stream, but you don't see my wife. She's actually an ordained minister as well. But she ministers in a different way. And that's just as important as the thing you see right here. You see, God made men and women different. How many of you guys know about the arguments we're having right now in society where, is this a man? Is this a woman? Can you define a woman? No, I'm not a biologist. You know? I don't have to be worried about getting knocked off or kicked off YouTube because we've been permanently kicked off YouTube already a couple days ago. Because I say stuff like this. But think about that. One of our, the newest Supreme Court justice didn't define what a woman was because she's not a biologist. And we're wondering why the relationships between men and women are in shambles. But if we look at this, I'm looking at this, and this is just one half of it. You know, next month is June, that's Father's Day, and I got stuff for you guys too. But when we look at Proverbs 31, it shows me a woman that is loyal, that will not let anything get in her way of her relationship with her husband, even if he is a knucklehead. You know what I mean? But don't be that. Husbands, don't be a knucklehead. Don't sin and do all that kind of stuff. But I'm just saying, that's the way it was. All right, moving forward. It says, she selects wool and flax and works with her eager hands. You guys know what wool and flax are? They're things to make clothes. So back in the day, you can go to Target and pick up the thing that you wanted to wear. It was the woman that made the clothes most of the time. The men back in those days, they were either tectons, warriors, or hunters, things like that, farmers. The woman took care of the home, and she made the clothes for everyone. And then it goes on to say she is like the merchant ships bringing food from afar. That's a creative way of saying that she always has food in her house available. Now, in our context, food isn't that important. Like, we can just go at any time of the day and pick up something to eat, right? Back in the day, you couldn't do that. There was much preparation. Even 100 years ago was closer to biblical times than we are now. And so this was a huge job to bring food and clothes into the house. It was a full-time job. And God is here in Proverbs 31. He's honoring that. He's honoring that. So how does that transfer now into modern life? It's a little bit difficult because now a lot of the things women do, I mean, a lot of things that men do, women do also. And that's part of the reason why we're kind of in this weird predicament. Is I'm not saying that the woman should stay home and she can't have a job. I'm not saying that. Because if it's saying she's like a merchant ship, the woman knows business. I've come across very shrewd businesswomen in my life. So I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is this. There has to be an inside and outside job when it comes to the home. And the way God made men and women differently, there's different proclivities to do different things. And so when a woman is in the home, it doesn't mean she doesn't have a job, right? She is setting the groundwork for the next generation for them to step on. In fact, when it says she's like merchant ships bringing food from afar, that was one of the things that was a great innovation when this was written. Did you know merchant ships going from port to port was like a space shuttle going to the moon? You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't an easy thing. We think, oh, okay, the ship's coming in, you know, from this port, and we'll have a truck drive it to the store, and it'll be there tomorrow morning. It wasn't like that back in the day. If you wanted something from another country, it could take months or years to get to you. And so God is describing the woman as something that was incredible, something that was so innovative during their time that she is to be valued that much. See, merchant ships were the jewels of kings. And so what King Lemuel is saying, your wife should be that important to you. It says she gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her families and portions for her female servants. This is funny. People go, I remember, do you have any like militant atheists in your lives? And they pick apart every Bible verse. See, look at the sexist thing. They have slavery. You know what I mean? Like, especially this one. They go, this is for misogynist men and slavers, this verse right here. Because it's saying women should stay in the home and then you should have slaves. It's not. Like, I already explained how valuable God thinks of women. And then when it says female servants, did you know, like, it wasn't just the king and his wife that had servants. It was also people who had wealth, right? And the wealth that they had back in the day was primarily livestock and agriculture. So how do you get wealthy in livestock and agriculture? You had to be smart, and you were business savvy. And so again, it's reiterating that women were very adept in the business of the town or the place that they lived in. If they had servants, that means they were so good at what they did, they could hire people and they could bring on people to do more. Moving on, it says, she considers a field and buys it. I think I'm proving my point, right? Like, some of the best, again, some of the shrewdest business people I know are women. So this is what she does for her family, you guys. When you honor a woman, she brings wealth into your family. It's really good. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earning, she plants a vineyard. You know what? Back in the day when you planted a vineyard, you made it. Vineyards were the thing that were prized. Grapes, wine. That means you made it into, you know, the 1% if you had a vineyard. This is what a wife brings. And this is what Lemuel's mom was telling him. You have to find someone who knows how to live life, who is smart, who does everything well. It says her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable. Wait a minute. I thought women couldn't do that. Of course they can. They're good at trading and they're profitable. In fact, you know what's funny? I saw one of the things that is bought most by women is like wigs and stuff. I don't know what I was doing, but I was looking at researching what people buy, and like women buy like expensive wigs and stuff like that. And I was like, I wonder how many of these businesses were started by women. And I was working a pest control job at that time, and I found so many women entrepreneurs selling to other women. It was incredible. And I got to talk to them too. Like I talked to this lady who sold like little knickknacks she made on Etsy and on eBay. And she had a big house. I was servicing her house, and she's like, "Yeah, I'm a Christian too. And God told me to make these things. I didn't know it was going to be a business until I just started trying. But I know He spoke to me and said, make these things." And I was like, "Wow, so God gave you an amazing home, and you get to stay home with your children and raise them at the same time as you're making money for your husband and your family?" She's like, "Yeah. Hallelujah. It's because I heard the voice of the Lord." And I'm like, "Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing." And I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, "Wow." She considers a field and buys it, you know? Translating that today, I know a lot of successful women in real estate, you know? But that's not just real estate. That could be like this other lady that I met. It could be an idea. It could be a God-given passion in your life as a woman that you want to do that can be majorly profitable. That's really good. And if you guys are single watching on the live stream, you got to find a woman like this. You know? Okay, so she sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. That means she's working all the time. She's not lazy. Moving on, you guys. In her hand, she holds a distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. Again, another reference to making clothes. You know, in the ancient days, clothes was so important because it told everybody who you were. The clothes that you wore communicated the status of your place in society, right? You know, like Jesus was a tecton. You guys know what a tecton is? So it's translated as carpenter, but it's not just a carpenter. It means builder. It means it could be tecton with wood, stone, or any other material. Tradesman, yeah. And so when people made stuff, they were known by the quality. And so when your wife makes clothes for you, she is setting the bar for your status in society. So how does that translate today? Is your wife is the one that is the, I believe spiritually sets the bar of your status in society. You know, that's why you have to treat your women in your life very well, because she can make or break you. You know what I mean? She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hand to the needy. How many of you guys know you can't do that unless you have resources? So God is setting up the woman as someone who is valuable because she brings so much to the table, and that she's so blessed and anointed that she can create profit, and now she can bless the poor and the needy. See, the only way you can bless the poor and the needy is if you have more than for your own self, right? I remember there was this minister named John G. Lake. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but in the 50s, he was an incredible minister. He went to Africa, and he had such a healing anointing on his life. When you pray for the sick, you know, the Bible says, pray for this the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, all that stuff. What he would do, he went to Africa, he would pray for so many people, and so many people got healed. He would challenge reporters to put, I remember he put, some kind of germ in his hand under a microscope. And as he prayed, the germs were dying, right? So this is the kind of anointing he had. But his wife, she ended up feeding the poor so much, she died. She died. And here's the thing, you gotta keep it balanced. They were so anointed that their ministry spread far and wide, but you have to be able to feed the needy and not kill yourself in the process, you know. And I know a lot of you women love to give and give and give and give. That is your nature. You're a nurturer. You love mercy. But don't do it at the detriment of your own health, you know. And then he goes to say, when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. You guys know the significance of this? One, scarlet wasn't a cheap dye, you know. The only more expensive ones were either purple or blue, but that was royal colors. You couldn't wear that unless you were royalty. So the next best thing would be scarlet clothing, right? And this is very prophetic because do you remember what happened, why they had Passover? The people of God celebrated Passover because, remember, in Egypt, one of the last plagues, the God said the angel of the Lord will come and take the firstborns unless you had the blood. And from Egypt to Proverbs to Jesus, it is consistent to if you have the blood of the Lamb covering you, you will be safe from death. So here it is again. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet, in the blood of the Lamb. And so it's very important that you honor the women in your life because she shares a part in ministering the gospel to the people around you. You know, it's a beautiful way of saying that when, you know, it is true in their time that the women made the clothes and that this particular woman would make clothing of scarlet, signifying the Savior and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's super important that we know this. And here we go. Moving on, it says she makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. So what is this now? It's a higher color. It's a more dignified color than scarlet. It's purple. Did you know that back in those days, you couldn't just say I was royalty? Or you would be beat in the streets. You know what I mean? Like, the people in power did not like it. Right? In fact, you know that famous movie, famous show on TV, Game of Thrones. People be killing people over this stuff, you know? Like, but check how prophetic this was. This was King Lemuel talking about a woman, but it is also talking about the church. Before Jesus, if you were a regular guy, you couldn't choose to be a priest. You couldn't do that. You know why? Because you had to be from the tribe of Levi. You had to be anointed to do that. But in the New Testament, Peter writes that we are a chosen nation, the priesthood of all believers. My Catholic friend asked me, how come you guys don't have priests? And I go, oh, that's easy. It's in the Bible. The first pope, like, they claim the first pope is Peter, right? So I go, yeah, your first pope taught it. They're like, what are you talking about? It says here that we are Christ's own possession, a priesthood, of a nation of priests, it says. So what is a priest? A priest is a conduit between God and man. Are you not, as a believer, charged with sharing the gospel? Of course, every believer is. So now you are a conduit between God and man, right? And so why am I saying this? The fact that Lemuel says the woman is clothed in fine linen and purple means that she is royalty and she is in the priesthood at the same time. So the church, this is a prophecy for the church. See, only a certain class of people could be the conduit between God and man. And the prophecy was this, the church will be clothed in royalty and priesthood at the same time in the future. So this is really important, you guys. This is amazing. It says here, her husband is respected at the city gate where he takes his seat amongst the elders of the land. Do you know what that is? That's the ecclesia. Yeah. That's the ecclesia. So there are men and women roles. The man is the spiritual head of the household. That is true. And does the wife submit to him? That is true. But But it is also true that it is the woman that gives him the ability to be a priest, to be have headship ministry as well. Because you can't be the head of the household if the household disavows you. You know what I mean? So it says, her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes a seat amongst the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. There's a lot of references to clothes here, you guys, right? Again, the clothes make the person. And so if the woman is making the clothes, she is setting up the people in her household for success. When this looks at, I know it's weird in our Western culture, we don't have that. Like, we've been taught, like, it doesn't matter what somebody wears, it's on the inside. Not to them. Not to them. The thing that you wore actually communicated who you were. So, with this saying, and smacking the her husband is respected at the city gate in the middle of talking about two things of clothes, what that means is the woman is building up her man to be the head of the household. Do you see that? This is why women are so important. Because the man would not have authority without the women being the bedrock of the family. It is impossible. Right? What's more pathetic, a dude, you know, that I'm not making fun of anyone here, but think about this. Imagine if we never had families, just a bunch of single guys. That wouldn't work, right? No. So when it talks about the linen garments and selling them, supplies merchants with sashes, she's doing major business, you guys. Major power player in the city, right? Does that mean she's over the husband? No, of course not. It means like the family unit's still there, but you have to recognize the dignity and the strength that a woman has. Do you see what I'm saying? Like a politician, like this is a bad example because it's kind of evil, but it's an accurate example. When you see a politician out there, are they beholden to special interests? They are. Of course they are. You know, maybe one that isn't. Most of them are. But here's the thing. I've been taught, yeah, the man is the head, but the woman is the neck. You know, she can turn the head wherever she, whichever direction she wants. But here's the thing. That's a half-truth. That's the half-truth. The body is controlled by Christ, right? And so the woman and the man work together for the direction that they're at. But as men, we have to honor the fact that the woman in the family is the one that speaks in wisdom many of the time. So moving on, it says, she is clothed with strength and dignity. Is that true? Absolutely. She can laugh at the days to come. This is super important. How can you laugh at the days to come if the days to come are bad? It's because you know who your father is. You know, my daughter, she's only 3. She knows who I am. She knows her father. Like, she knows I'm going to rescue her if she cries. In fact, she uses it to her advantage too much. And does fake cries so I can come running to get her. And then I find out she's like playing a trick on her brother, and I'm getting mad at the wrong person. You know what I mean? So there's a powerful thing here that happens. But a godly woman can laugh at the days to come because she knows who her father is. In fact, one of the greatest examples was Mary, the mother of Jesus, right? Is Jesus Lord?
Yes.
And he does whatever he wants. He doesn't have to bow down to any human being. All of that is true. But he can choose to do something that a human being wants. What am I getting at? What's the first miracle that Jesus did?
Water to wine.
Water to wine. Woman, it's not my time yet. That's what he said in an authoritative voice. And he didn't say, dear Mother Mary. No, he said, woman. Meaning, hey, I have authority over you. You can't tell me what to do, because she was asking him to help out. They ran out of wine. What ended up happening? He did it anyways. This is why I'm not a Calvinist. Anyways, out of his love for his mother, he was willing to bend his plans so that her wish for them, for the wedding feast to be held, came true.
Obedience to parents.
What's that?
Obedience to parents.
Obedience to parents is one thing, but this was Jesus too. So you can't put this in a legalistic box. This was a relational thing.
He was obedient to the structure and the rules.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have said it the way he did. You say, woman, it's not my time. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. No. You do that. That was worthy of stoning. Disrespecting your parents, dishonoring your parents, right? So here's the thing. He did it out of relationship with the woman in his life, his mother. The God of heaven, as a man, said, okay, this was my plan, but since she wants to do it, I'm going to change my plan and still make it work out the way I want it to. That's how powerful God is. But that's the thing. There's a special place in God's heart for women. Women can petition God in a special way. In fact, I don't think I'd be alive today if my mom wasn't praying for me. There's a special thing that happens when moms pray for their kids. It's really ridiculously effective, in my opinion. I see it day in and day out. It doesn't mean the dad can't pray for the kids. The dad's prayers are super powerful, but there is a special thing about a woman's prayers. And you guys know, I see the heads nodding up and down all the time. All right. It says, she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Where is the first dose of wisdom, wise teaching your kids get? Where is it? It's from the mom. Right? So the way the kids see God is the first interactions they have with their dad. That's true. But a lot of times, the first time they interact with wisdom or teaching is with their mother. And so if you have a good woman, she is to be praised because she's setting up the next generation for success. It is true. It is true. And I'm not trying to be a sexist or anything. The families that have a woman teaching the kids early on in life tend to be more successful than the families that don't. It says here, she watches over the affairs of the household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. For you moms in the house, when you grow older, what would it be? How much of value would it be if your children said this to you? That on your birthday, on a Mother's Day, all your children come together and say, call you blessed. That is huge. Her husband also what?
Praises
her. All right, for me, I have to do better at this one. My wife does a lot, and I know I need to praise her more. This is the word of God. I have to do it. And in fact, the more you praise your wife, the more she will respect you as a husband. Really. It is 100% true. That's the way God created it. The relationship between men and women. Her husband also praises her and says this, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. So here's the thing, you guys. Here's the secret. If you have a special woman in your life, a mom, a wife, say she surpasses all women, and she will be loyal to you for the rest of your life. No, it's true. It's true. When you have someone special in your life, you have your wife, you have your mom, there is no other women that matters. You know, especially your wife, because Jesus taught, you know, when you get married, you leave your father's house, you leave your father and mother and cling to your wife. That's how important it is. And then it goes on to say, and Peter actually repeats this in the New Testament, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Hold up. This is a sexist thing? No, it's not. So the place of elders was specifically for men, right? The ecclesia was for men at first. The grouping of men deciding what goes in and out of a city. The assembly, the called out ones, right? But look at this. The godly woman who fears the Lord is to be praised in the ecclesia, in the church, in the group of elders. That was unheard of before. There's no way. You know, women were looked at as property before, but how can they be praised at the seat of honor? God says to do it. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her words bring her praise at the city gate. People overlook that. Oh, that's just the city gate. That's just the city. No. The city gate is where all the important decisions were made. And yet the godly woman, the woman who fears the Lord, is to be praised there. That's how important our wives, our mothers are. And so that's where I wanted to stop right there. But do you see where I'm getting at? So personally, if you honor your wife in the places where normally women aren't honored, God will honor you. And second, the church has to be honored in the place where normally the church is not honored. You know, people ask me, how are we going to change America? How are we going to do this? The church has to be one of the most powerful institutions in America once again. And it's up to us to make that happen. It's up to us. Church people have to be the best and the brightest in their fields, the most creative. In fact, only 10% of the stuff happens here in the congregation. The rest of the 90% of the stuff, the miracles, signs, and wonders, happen outside. And so we treat this as a gas station to get filled up with the Holy Ghost so we can do the work of ministry. And this is the thing. If we do this right, I remember praying about this, and I'm like, God, like, how are you going to do this? Because the media has made women and men and women fight each other, right? Like, there's this cycle of two extremes where before it was a very patriarchal system where women didn't get a say, they didn't get a vote, they didn't get this and that. So it moved into a place with, like, civil rights, right? In the right place, like, I do believe, like, women have the right to vote, especially when they're doing productive things. Now, I do agree with voting limits on certain things, like people who just leech off the system, I don't think they should vote, and that's just an opinion. But so moved into the right place, and then now, 30 years later, now men can be women. Wait a minute, what happened? You know? I don't want to get into the argument of, like, women in the military and all that stuff, but what I'm saying is we are too far away from the place where God had made balance. Because balance is key. Men and women have different roles. Men and women are equally important, but have different roles. And so what we're at is this. We need to find a way where women are honored at the city gate in a truthful way. Not in a way where it's the current thing, it's the best. It's the thing that people are tweeting. It's the thing, the hashtag that people are doing. It's the flag that our people are putting on the profiles. No, we want the honor for women to be 100% real and genuine, the way God described it, right? And so this is what I want to do. We're going to do communion. What I want to do is do prophetic ministry. This is the prophetic church. For all the mothers and wives in the house. So if you're a mother and wife, please, if you can stand. And we're going to do some prophetic ministry. So if you've never had this before, all it is just praying that I communicate to you what God's saying to you at the current time. I'm not God. I'm just saying that In 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts of prophecy and word of knowledge are true. And this church, we do this. And so, Sam also has been trained to do spiritual gifts. So if you have a word for any one of them, let me know. But I'm going to pray over you, and then I'm going to give each one of you, since it's just you guys, just an encouraging word today. Is that all right? Okay. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for our wives and our mothers. We thank you that they are a vital, important part of the church, the family, and society. We thank you that they lead in much of a different way, but a very important way, equally as important as men. And we thank you that we get to honor them today because, God, you love them so much. You love them and you gave them to us as a gift to be honored and cherished. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that these words of encouragement and prophecy would ring true, discard anything that is not true, but the things that are true, I pray that you would lodge deep into their hearts so that they can show how good you really are. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to start with Sylvia. Sylvia, you've been a family friend for a long time. And you've gone through so many things in your life. And the best thing I know about you is you are one of the most loyal people I've ever seen in my life. And I believe the Lord in the next season, this coming season, is going to give you something that you've never had before. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe you have something in your heart, like a gift that you've been wanting, whether it be material or something relational. But I think the Lord's ready to give that to you. Something that's coming. And I'm not prophesying kids or babies or nothing. I'm just saying that's between you and God. Like whatever desires in your heart, I believe God's saying yes to that. This, I'm not giving you a timeline, but next season in your life, I think it's a yes from God. Does that make sense? She's laughing. Do you have anything for her? No? Okay. All right, next. My mom, Rosalie. You guys know Rosalie? Okay. Wow. What I'm thinking is, you know, when Jesus drove out the demons and threw them into the pigs and stuff. And I remember praying about that. Because, like, why would I tell that to my mom? That's kind of weird, you know? What's funny is that was a symbol of Jesus. Because pigs were considered, you know, unclean to the Jewish community. And so it's perfect that Jesus would take the demons and then put them into pigs. And they run off the cliff, right? So I think God has a new aspect to your ministry. Like, you're going to be able to, not like exorcist where you're like casting out these demons, but like in terms of hearts, like in terms of depression, people feeling sorry for themselves, I think you're going to be able to cast those out and throw them into the abyss. God's given you the ability to do that with friends and family that are depressed or they have bad feelings in their hearts. And so we bless you in the name of Jesus with that. You have something?
That was actually very interesting because the word that I got when you started talking about her was the word care.
Yeah.
And the words that come to mind when you think of care are like caretaker, caregiver,
yeah.
Someone who's caring.
Okay.
And so attach that to caring for those who are troubled
yeah.
enough to help them with those kind of situations.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
Confirming word on my words.
Nice, nice.
Amen. All right. So give them both a hand, guys. All right. All right, Jen. And then I'll go over to Chelsea. Jen, when I look at you, I see someone that's, okay. I don't know where this is coming from, but like, God's going to open the door to you to get like a bunch of resources, whether that be money, time, or property, I don't know, but something significant has just been open to you. Like, right when I look at you to pray for you right now, and we're going to pray for everyone too, I just really feel God saying yes to that. Like, he's going to open up a door to where you get a significant amount that would help your family a lot, right? So I'm praying that you would just have the eyes to see what's about to happen in your life. And I believe, like, you've been asking God for something like that. Like, because, like, this resource would free up a lot of your time, a lot of things that you want to do. And I believe God is bringing that from the future into your present right now. And so, bless you in the name of Jesus. All right, Chelsea. So, your husband is becoming a good friend. And when I first met you at the house at the birthday party, you were into video games, you know, and you asked me about Elden Ring.
Yeah.
And when I think about Elden Ring, I think about getting angry all the time because it's so stinking hard, right? That game is not for the faint of hearts, but I see God doing the same thing. Like, God is strengthening your resolve, especially for your family, because you want nothing less than your kids, and I know you're expecting your future child to be the best possible versions of themselves. And I think God's strengthening your resolve in him. No matter how hard it takes, they will be successful. And there's, like, part two to that. I remember, like, another feeling I get from Elden Ring, apart from anger, is how beautiful, like, the artwork was in the game, right? So you too have this creative spirit that needs to be honed, and God's going to use that to communicate his gospel. It doesn't mean you're going to be like a Christian artist or something, but I think you're going to create something so interesting to even the unbelievers that they're going to be so drawn to it that it's going to share the gospel no matter what. You know? And so, I just see that. I see just creativity all over your life and that resolve for your children. That's just ridiculous. So your word is Elden Ring, angry, creative. So if you guys can stretch your hands to Chelsea, Jen, Rosalie, and you got something?
I got something.
Okay.
Oh. And we're being trolled, by the way.
Why?
Because before you started giving words out, when you were initially praying, I got an image for her.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
And of all the things you brought up, video games.
Yeah.
The image I got was a little shield with like a blue cross on it.
Okay.
Like a little shield icon for like your defense stats in a video game.
Okay.
So we're being trolled here.
Okay, nice.
But, so that was the image I got for you, and I think what's coming from that is kind of two different meanings. On one hand, I think to a degree it's about parenting. The mother is usually the first shield for their children.
Amen.
Out of love and nurture and care, and I think that definitely applies to you. The second is that believers have a greater shield in the protection from God. And so just as you are there to shield and protect your child slash children, he is also there to protect and shield you as his beloved daughter.
Yeah.
And I think he just wanted first you to be acknowledged for being, you know, a good mother, one who shields and loves her children, but also to remind you that just as you love your children and protect them, he loves you and will protect you.
Amen.
Awesome. All right, reach out your hand. Father God, we thank you for all the wives and the mothers in our family. We thank you that you love them so much and that you predestined them to become the pillars of every part of our lives. So today we honor them. We honor them in places where they aren't usually honored. And we thank you for the works of their hands. we bless their hands in the name of Jesus, that their hands would produce more than enough, and that their husbands and their children would call her blessed. And we do what the word says, and we praise these women that are in our lives today, because they are worth more than rubies. They are worth more than the merchant ships. They are worth more than the number in our bank accounts. They are worth more than anything else in our lives apart from you, God. And so teach us to love them well. Teach us to cherish them well. Teach us to show respect and honor. Teach us to show love and caring where it's needed. But most of all, I thank you that the women in our lives fear you, that they know you, that they trust you. And so, Lord, give them an anointing that surpasses anything that we've seen before. I pray that you would give them such confidence in the future that they're calming their husbands down, that they're giving their husbands the resolve that's needed to get through the tribulation. We thank you, Lord, that we are protected because the women pray. We are protected from harms and dangers because the wives are praying for the husbands and the mothers are praying for the children. We thank you for that special relationship that you have with them. And so tonight, in honor of them, we declare that tonight and the subsequent days forward, we will be the ones to put them up in a place where they can be the women that they're supposed to be. We thank you, Lord. In the beginning, you created woman as a helpmeet for Adam, and that there is no ministry that can exist without women being a part of it and leading with the men. We thank you, Lord, for the roles that you've given us, and thank you for today as we celebrate every single mom and wife in the house tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.